Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. Our friend, Pastor Jesse Lusco in studio. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, great to be here with you, Jim.
Hey, we're going to have our number two segment on stress, anxiety, and depression. And I am glad to have you here. But some of the things we're going to talk about are kind of sad.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw an article in the paper today about a young man. A lot of people remember Naj Flowers. He was a UNM football player. Mm-hmm. Back in November of 2019, he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And there was an article in the Journal today about the Flowers family now filing lawsuits, and that's all to be accepted, but it or expected, but it kind of reminds us just of the tragedy.
Yeah.
And not that we would ever forget Naj, but, you know, without having football and without really thinking about he's not coming back, he was kind of out of mind, frankly, in my mind until I read the article this morning, and I fear that life is becoming less valuable than it once was.
Wow. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I absolutely, you know, believe that that is the case in our culture at large. And, I think a lot of that has to do with, secularism. And here's the reality. It's not just, oh, the radical left or this group or that group who's secularizing. Our culture as a whole is secularizing. I think even the church is, you know, our worldview is becoming shaped a lot of times by outside forces, and you know, it's possible to be a Christian, but to have your worldview still shaped by the world, the flesh, and the devil, you know. And I think often of that verse, like Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And I think our culture as a whole, you know, you hear just, whether it's abortion or just saying, oh, those people, they're dying of pre-existing conditions, it doesn't matter, just open the economy, or whatever topic it is, you know, I think we can sometimes be kind of cold and ruthless and realize, no, man, every human being matters. Every human being is made in God's image and is of infinite worth. And obviously, you know, there's so many things, and I'm not trying to say that there isn't gray area, or that sometimes things aren't always black and white, and I think a lot of the situations that we're facing in 2020 are catch 22s, you know, where they're difficult dilemmas, where like no matter which decision you make, there's going to be catastrophe and difficulty and pain. And so I think last time we were on the air, we were just talking about like, man, like I have compassion for those leaders who have to make those really big decisions, because they're not easy decisions where it's obvious and black and white, man. And so what we're talking about today, kind of pivoting, is just on the topic of this UNM football player and everything, is that the suicide rate really is out of control. And then even beyond that, people who are dealing with chronic clinical anxiety and depression is just skyrocketing. And so on the topic of suicide, New Mexico is actually number one in the United States per capita for suicide. So the Albuquerque Journal reported on that recently this year, that we have the highest suicide rate per capita in the country. And the United States as a whole, in the past 17 years, we've seen a 33% increase both in suicide completions and in suicide attempts. So the most recent data we have is from 2018, and you know, almost 50,000 people commit suicide in 1 year in the United States, and it's just staggering. And then, you know, I mean, I know it's all kind of doom and gloom with some of these statistics, but it's just something I think that we need to be aware of. It's something we need to talk about. It's something that we need to not shy away from as believers, and we need to confront it head on. So prior to the pandemic, they were already saying that 25% of U.S. adults, this was in 2014. 2014, 25% of adults had experienced like clinical anxiety or depression. But now, even in 2020, prior to the pandemic, it was already up to, it had already jumped to like 30%. And now they're saying with the pandemic, it's even much higher than that. So that like 50% of Americans are experiencing, symptoms of clinical anxiety and depression. So think about that. That's since 2014, it had jumped already in January 2020, it had jumped all the way to 34%. And now you throw COVID and the unrest and the racial injustice and the protests and the riots and just all the divisiveness and everything that's going on. Now they're saying, according to the Washington Post, that and Census Bureau data, that 50% of Americans are experiencing symptoms of clinical depression.
Now, Jesse, you shared in your own story that your family loved on you when you were facing some of this stuff yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But there's a lot of people right now that are just really isolated. They don't have people loving on them, but they might have a perception that texting people and communicating on your cell phone is the same as interpersonal communication.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just not the case, at all. And there's so much research that has gone into this that since the invention of the iPhone, if you want to Google it, there's a great article in The Atlantic by a researcher named Gene Twenge. And, there's actually lots of research on this, but Gene Twenge, she has studied adolescence for her entire career for like 30 years. And she says that when you look at the suicide epidemic and the depression epidemic and just the skyrocketing rates of anxiety and depression amongst young people, 91% of Gen Z prior to the pandemic, 91% of Gen Z said they had anxiety or depression in the last year and symptoms of it. And it's not just that they're snowflakes and they're, you know, more fragile. No, they're actually cutting themselves and killing themselves at higher rates than back in the early 2000s or anything. Well, anyways, Gene Twenge makes the point that explosion of anxiety and depression and suicide correlates perfectly with the invention of the iPhone. And there's other studies that have been done, tons of them. There's one from Tel Aviv University. There's one from the University of Pennsylvania. Here's a quote from a psychologist named Melissa Hunt. She says, here's the bottom line. Using less social media than you normally would leads to significant decreases in both depression and in loneliness. And she cites a study where she's describing what all of this is like. And they just had people at the University of Pennsylvania. They had 140 undergraduates, use their regular amount of time on Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook. And then they had another group that lowered their amounts of use of social media, and across the board, instantaneously, people who diminished their screen time immediately felt better, felt better. and so there's actually a really scientific explanation for it. And I think even a biblical explanation for it. And that's just that, when you are on your phone texting someone, it releases the chemical neurotransmitter dopamine, which is, it's what you get from playing a video game, or it's what you get from, it's just the reward system when you win at something. When you have an orgasm, it's what your brain releases. It's the pleasure chemical. But when you and I look at each other in the eye, Jim, like this, our brains release oxytocin, which is the chemical neurotransmitter for bonding, connection, and belonging. And so, like, you have beautiful eyes, by the way, Jim. But when you and I look each other in the eye, and so our phones cannot give us oxytocin. They give us dopamine. And so what we're craving is that feeling of belonging and connection and bonding, but instead we're just getting these hits of stimulation, and it actually leaves us feeling worse. And you know, without going off, and the brain's complex, there's also serotonin in the mix, and we can talk more about it. But to answer your question, man, you can't just text somebody. Man, at least FaceTime with them. You know, maybe the FaceTime will help a little bit better, or if you feel comfortable, maybe you can, you know, wear a mask and just go hang out with somebody at a park. It'll change your life.
Well, and we're going to have a lot more to say about technology. And again, it's not iPhone or Samsung or any of these that are the problem.
Yeah.
It's the way human beings,
yep,
self-centered, sinful human beings,
yep,
deploy this stuff.
Exactly.
Like, for example, I always think it's funny to watch people with road rage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a funny thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very serious, but I've seen men, particularly men, get out of a car. You know, I've seen men that are, you know, 5'5" and weigh 140 pounds and they're yelling at some guy that weighs 300 pounds and they're in this big truck and they have all,
yeah,
this courage while they're in their truck.
Yep.
But that courage goes away as soon as they get out of that truck. And it seems like a phone is the same thing.
Yes.
I noticed as a dad with five children, I have three girls and two boys, all grown now, that when they were growing up, boys on teams seem to have a lot of camaraderie. Girls on teams is a whole different deal. My experience was there's always a few girls that are really mean. And that's not something I was expecting. And I can only imagine that that is exacerbated by the cell phone.
That is true. Yeah, man, you're actually onto something because a lot of the research, you know, Gene Twenge and these other researchers, they actually point out that although men and young men tend to kill themselves a lot more than women, particularly amongst teenage girls, the suicide rate has been drastically going up at a disproportionate rate. And they say for that exact same reason that guys, when they're mad at each other, kind of tend towards like, oh, you punch each other, you get in a fight, and then you kind of get over with. But they talk about how social media perpetuates like emotional bullying, and that's what the girls tend to do. They tend more to like the excluding people, you know, posting mean pictures, you know, just that kind of bullying where it's more social and emotional. And because of that, we have seen a really, really big uptake amongst, you know, teenage girls for that exact reason, because it's more social, emotional bullying that's going on. And here's what I think about is I think about this. When I was a kid growing up, when you were a kid growing up, you know, the bullying stopped when the bell rang. But nowadays, kids carry the bullies home in their pocket.
Wow.
You know, and so where it used to be that you'd be at school, you know, things would be difficult, and then you'd go home at night and you'd be with your family and you could kind of, those jerks at school, whatever, but you have a good time. But now what do kids do? They go lock themselves in their bedroom. Like, we put on this event and kids were texting in questions. We put on this event about doubt and anxiety and depression and atheism and all these topics. And during the Q&A, somebody texts and he's like, is it a bad idea that I stay up till 2 a.m. every night on my phone on TikTok? It's like, yes, that is a horrible idea.
Well, and just the simple fatigue,
yeah,
is
a
contributing,
totally,
factor to this whole thing.
Of course. Yes. The sleep deprivation. My friend John Mark Comer wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And he just points out that prior to the invention of the Edison light bulb, it was common for people to kind of go to sleep when the sun went down. You know, you'd go to sleep at sunrise, you wake up, or you go to sleep at sundown, you wake up at sunrise. Maybe you'd stay up a little bit, but it was really common for people to get like 10 hours of sleep a night or more, you know? But with the, and I'm not advocating being Amish or anything here, you know? Yes, we're all going to go out into the woods and get rid of our electricity and our phones. No, I'm not advocating that. Don't be so extreme. We're talking about moderation. It's just moderation limits, right? And so, but he just makes the point that with the Industrial Revolution, ever since the invention of the Edison light bulb, we've just gotten less and less and less and less and less and less sleep. And I think we all are just like toddlers who need a nap. Like, we're all so mean to each other now. And there's all this vitriol. And it's because, you know, I think partly because we've got these glowing little devices that are just shining in our faces all the time. And so just for me personally, you know, if I can share from my own personal story, I realized that I had gone like, you know, 8 or 9 years, without actually turning my phone completely off. Like, there were times where it would die. You know, there were times where I would maybe leave it in the other room, but I never actually just powered it off and just said, you don't own me. And my wife and I were struggling in our marriage, and you know, I had always had problems with kind of like being physically present but mentally absent. And we were praying one time, and it was like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, turn your phone off. And so what I've been doing now for close to a year is I just turn my phone off for like 2-3 hours a night. Turn it completely off. I know you get like phone separation anxiety, whatever, but just turn it off for 2 or 3 hours, or even start with 1 hour. Or for me, I do it sometimes on Saturday when it's family day. I'll just leave my phone at home, go hang out with my kids and my wife for like 8 hours. I won't even bring my phone. And I will tell you, it has done magnificent things for my emotional health, my spiritual health, my relational health, for my family, for my marriage. Man, it is a game changer.
You know, Jesse, I know certain people involved with this ministry that are talk show hosts that couldn't get a hold of you on Saturday and may want to blackmail you into feeling really bad about shutting off your phone on Saturday.
Oh man. Well, dang. Well, you know, you gotta set boundaries. You know, and part of setting boundaries is that you realize I'm not responsible for that person throwing a fit. You know, like I have to do what I believe the Lord's called me to do.
Yes.
And I'm going to do it even if people try to manipulate me. And
so we've talked a little bit about technology. We've talked a little bit about secularism and not having your focus where it needs to be.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about where your focus needs to be biblically.
Absolutely.
Stay with us, Pastor Jesse Lusko, talking to us today about stress, anxiety, and depression. We'll be back here. Stay with us.
Hello, this is Chaplain Jim Meyer from High Desert Hospice. I want you to know that we're praying for you and to remind you that you're not alone. In times of crisis and uncertainty, it's important to cling to that which we know, that we're cared for and deeply loved by God. David had this confidence when he wrote in Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped." So from our family at High Desert Hospice to yours, be encouraged.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be a locally owned and operated mortgage company right here in New Mexico. Being local carries many positives for consumers, such as being able to meet face-to-face. You will receive quick response times, and all loans are processed here locally. And you will always talk with the same people from application to funding. All of our employees live here, and all profits from loan origination stay right here in New Mexico. Indigo Mortgage believes in supporting our local economy, and if at all possible, we use local vendors for supplies and technical support. I personally hire and vet all loan officers, and I assure you that your loans will be dealt with both ethically and with knowledge. Indigo Mortgage can offer the best rates and terms available on the market, so contact us today. On the net at indigomortgage.net or by calling 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaña, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Stress, anxiety, and depression affects all of us, and COVID-19 has brought that to light in more than one example in all of our lives. We are really talking to Pastor Jesse Lusko. He is the campus pastor of Calvary Church Westside in Albuquerque. Jesse has been on the program a number of times, contributes in magnificent ways, and one of the reasons, Jesse, I love how you speak about these things is because you talk from your heart. You've already shared one story about your own separation anxiety from your cell phone. And I think there's people listening that are saying, yeah, that's kind of me. And we try to put a little levity to it and a little, you know, laughter, but sometimes, depression, anxiety, suicide, those are not things that we need to joke about.
Of course.
I don't want to make,
I
don't want to make light of them, but sometimes we just have to get people to smile.
Oh, yeah.
And gosh, you might be spiritualizing the fact that you've been up for 3 days, or maybe you slept two hours in 3 days and you can't figure out why you feel bad.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the technology and how the use of that is really causing a lot of this.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it's not the only factor, but it's a factor. And let me be clear here. Right now I'm wearing an Apple Watch. You know, I've got an iPhone. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not Amish. You know, I'm not nothing against the Amish. Hey, God bless them. But I hear they make really nice furniture.
Oh, they do. And I'll tell you what, I know a couple Amish folks that love Jesus with all their heart.
But they're probably not listening to the show. So.
No, but I have to say this. And you know, I know there's people of different faiths.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We have different Christians that are Catholic, yeah. Methodist, Baptist, Evangelical. They're part of XYZ church over here. Look, if Jesus is Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
We just want to emphasize how he is going to protect you,
yeah.
and how your
yeah.
focus should not change away because of all these tools and technology. It's like
yeah.
anything. You know, you could covet your new car.
Yep.
And the focus there messes you.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I want to get at it, and I'm kind of going to return to this theme later on in the show, but just what I'm trying to convey is just this. Timothy Keller is a great pastor from New York, and I quote him a lot, but people call him the C.S. Lewis of the 21st century, so I don't really feel bad for quoting him, because everybody quotes C.S. Lewis like crazy too. But he says, when you take a good thing and you make it an ultimate thing, it becomes a bad thing. Or another way that he puts it is sin isn't doing bad things. Sin is taking good things and making them into ultimate things. And so his point there is, what, sex isn't bad, right? God created it. It's good. Money's not bad. Money's good. Money's just a way to enjoy and provide for yourself and sustain yourself and enjoy God's creation, right? Or whatever. Provide for your family or help people. But when you take a good thing, like sex or money or your phone, and you make it into an ultimate thing, I can't live without this. If I don't have this, life can't go on. If I don't have this, I can't be okay. It becomes a bad thing, right? Because it takes you to a place where you say, you know what? I will trample over God and man to have this. I will cheat on my wife, or I'll traffic this person, or I'll, you know, rape this person or whatever, right? We all get the idea that when you take a good thing, you make it an ultimate thing, it becomes a bad thing. Well, the same thing can happen with our phone. If you say, I can't be okay without my phone, then that good thing, phones are good things. They help us communicate. They make you incredibly productive. All the research that I've accessed today on the show, I found through technology. But if your phone is at a place in your life where you're neglecting your family, you're neglecting your relationships, you're neglecting your physical health, your well-being, that good thing has become an ultimate thing, and that's a bad thing. And so that's what I was really trying to convey here. And part of the way that it becomes a bad thing is through what people call FOMO. Maybe you've heard of this. It's the fear of missing out. But Gore Vidal, a famous atheist, he's got this great quote that says, when a friend of mine succeeds, a part of my soul dies. When a friend of mine succeeds, a part of my soul dies. Have you ever been in that situation, Jim, where like, you know, somebody gets a promotion or somebody gets this? Do you have an example you can think of in your life where like, you just felt jealous? Like, nobody likes to admit it.
Oh, I've definitely yeah. been jealous. Like, every time I watch these NBA players just dunk with ease and float through the air, I know I could never do that. So I yeah. say to God, God, why did you make me a floor walker?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I think a lot of people, nobody wants to admit this, but I think a lot of people relate with Gore Vidal. When a friend of mine succeeds, a part of my heart dies, you know, and that's what our phones are driving us to constantly. You're sitting at home, you're lonely, you're single, you're not, you just got broken up with. And what are you doing? You're, oh man, they just got married. Oh, why did they get to go on a trip to Fiji when I've been landlocked here in New Mexico my whole life? You know, you get on your phone. Oh my gosh, look at that person. They got the flyish dripping Gucci, you know, this. Oh, look at his sneakers. And all you do is you sit there and, researchers talk about this whole thing called relative deprivation. This guy Stouffer came up with it. It's social comparison. And it's the idea that here we are living. If you make more than $34,000 a year, you are in the 1% of all humans on earth. So you remember like the Occupy Wall Street movement? We are the 99%. We are the 99%. And there are extremely poor people in the United States. So I don't want to belittle them or anything. But if you make more than $34,000 a year, you're living in the 1% of all humans on earth. Okay. Many people live on like $30 a week or like less than $30 a month in India and these different places. But we don't compare ourselves with the guy in India. What do? We get on our phones and we compare ourselves with Jay-Z and we compare ourselves with, you know, Angelina Jolie and all these people. And so, the whole idea of FOMO is that relative deprivation, you go, I'm poor. I'm broke. I don't have anything. I don't get to go to Fiji. I'm the worst. But here's the thing. This is a trap. It is a lie from the pit of hell and it never ends because, there's this book called The Wealth Paradox, from these researchers at Cambridge University. And this is what she says. She says, the more money you make, the more you need more money. It's like an addiction. High earners can't get off the treadmill because they become too defined by it. And she says that, that people making, like $500 million a year will actually go to therapists and be depressed. And they'll say, I will never have worth. I'll never be satisfied. I'll never be okay unless I just make that first billion. That there are people making $500 million, that's their net worth or whatever, but they're saying like, I won't ever be satisfied until I can finally net that billion. It's like, it is insane. And so the Lord showed this to me because I was having just a massive problem with it. And I talk with people about this all the time where I was talking to this kid. He's a photographer. He's living in LA and he's just saying, yeah, dude, I struggle with huge depression, anxiety. I think about killing myself, you know, all the time. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, like, I just never feel like I'm good enough. I never feel like I'm successful enough. I never feel like I live up to these standards. But what the Lord showed me, because I've wrestled with this, you know, I've said on the air before, I have clinical, bipolar manic depression. But the Lord showed me this. If you compare with those who have more, you always feel poor. But if you share with those who have less, you'll always feel rich. If you compare, if you spend your life staring at those above you, you're always going to feel inferior and depressed and empty, right? So don't spend your life staring at those above you. Spend your life sharing with those below you. Those who have less. And that's what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And all in my sermon here, but there's a study done at the University of Columbia. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? They took these students and they took one group and they said, hey, we want you to do whatever you want. Go play Xbox, go to the movies, you know, go eat candy, go eat junk food, go do whatever you want for the next week. And then they were called like the fun group, right? But then they took the other group and they said, you're the meaning group and you need to go serve in homeless shelters and you need to go visit people in the hospital and you need to do this. And what are all these teenagers do? Dang it. I wish I was in the fun group, right? And I wish I was in that group. And, you know, I'm sure they partied and the article said they probably drank and just did, you know, all the things teenagers do. But then they came back and they interviewed them a month later after this. And the kids who were in the fun group had higher levels of anxiety and depression and sadness. But then the people who were in the meaning group who served others, they said that they felt inspired. They felt like they had a new lease on life. They felt like their life was meaningful. And so when Jesus says in Acts chapter 20, it's more blessed to give than to receive, it's true. But what do our devices do? They're constantly telling us, you need more, get more, have more, travel more, do more, accomplish more, make more, buy more. And that's why we're killing ourselves.
Yeah. You know, there's a two-page book referenced in the Old Testament, Exodus 20:17, written in stone.
Yeah.
And it says, you shall not covet.
Yep.
Anything that is your neighbor's.
Yep, exactly.
Pretty applicable.
It's so applicable.
Jesse Lusko, he is the campus pastor of Calvary Church Westside in Albuquerque. He is our guest this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We'll be back with more from Jesse. Stay with us.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air. Call Bosky and we'll be.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or
505-884-8584. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Oh, you never want to have Steve Ryman at the controls and your headset off on the other side of the room when it's time to go on the air. Thanks, Steve. He's signaling me.
Here we go.
It's time to go. Jesse Lusko is in studio with us. Jesse's talking with us about stress, anxiety, and depression, giving us really a good biblical view. And we've talked not about, you know, bad things, but we're talking about good things like cell phones. What an amazing communication tool it is. I remember, and you don't remember this because you're too young, but those of us who were Trekkies watching Star Trek, and they had this little badge they would touch, and they would be like a little communicator, and we used to say, wouldn't that be cool if you could just touch that?
Oh,
and it would beep and you could
talk.
Or
like Dick Tracy.
Yeah, now you've got a watch that's, you know, not even half the size of that you can talk to people
on. So cool. I do want them to put FaceTime on the watch just so I can feel like Dick Tracy.
You'd have to have a magnifying glass to see it.
I know,
that's
true.
Well, and again, it's a misapplication of a good thing.
Exactly. It's just when something good takes on a dimension that's blown out of proportion. Like it's out of its improper place. I oftentimes think of it like this. In Colossians, it says that Jesus is meant to have preeminence or first place in everything. And I love the Greek word for preeminence, or the Greek word for first place, depending on what translation, is the word protos. All right, protos. And we get our English word proton from that. Now, if you can put your thinking caps on and go back to eighth grade science class, protons are at the center of atoms, right? The center of atoms are made out of protons and neutrons, are the positively charged particles. Well, the electrons, even though this is just a metaphor, but the electrons are the particles slash waves or whatever that orbit around the protons. What's the point? The Greek word for protos means chief in influence and rank. Our whole life is meant to orbit around Jesus. The whole universe orbits around Jesus. All things were created through him and before him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So Jesus is meant to be the center of your solar system that everything else orbits around. But sin is when we put something else at the center of our solar system. We put a guy, a girl, at the center of our solar system. You know, Ariana Grande sings a song about a boy. She says, "You're my everything, my everything." I watched this movie that was about Ted Bundy. Actually, it was a reenactment. It's Zac Efron played Ted Bundy. But Ted Bundy's girlfriend, the girl goes, how did you stay with him so long? How were you married to this creep for so long? And she goes, when I had Ted's love, I had everything. And when I didn't have his love, I had nothing. That's the essence of idolatry, right? That's the essence of taking a human being, a good thing, right? A good thing, like a romantic relationship or a phone or anything else, and you put it at the center of your life, and it does not have the gravitational force to hold your life in orbit. To worship anything other than Jesus is like trying to make the moon the center of your solar system. Like the moon just doesn't have the force to keep it in life, in orbit. Your life is going to fly apart. And so, I'll just give another example. I was having a counseling appointment with this woman who her husband had randomly died of a heart attack. All right. Obviously tragic. And it had happened over a year earlier, but she was just sitting down with me for counseling, just crying, just saying like, I don't feel like I'm making it through the stages of grief. I feel like I haven't made any progress. Like, I don't even want to go on living. I just want to give up. And we're talking and I'm empathizing with her. I didn't rush in with all the theology. But we're talking and I'm just showing compassion and I'm explaining, you know, God allows suffering in our lives and sometimes the righteous suffer like Job. And I'm showing, like I said on the air last time, we need to empathize before we theologize, right? So I was empathizing with her. But as the conversation went on, she was just so devastated and she went, he was my everything. And she said that. And I said, is it okay if I give you some feedback? And I just said, like, I think that's exactly why you can't move on, is because you made your husband your everything. And now that he's gone, you have nothing. But I think the way you're going to overcome this is make Jesus your everything. Make him the center of your life. And dude, it was amazing. Like, this weight lifted off her and she's like, you're right. And she didn't get offended or hurt or mad. She went, you're right. That's what's wrong. And she messaged me later on Facebook and said, like, I listened to the sermon you sent me. I'm making Jesus my everything and I'm overcoming my grief.
Awesome. Yeah. That's the way God works. In our previous segment, Jesse, you were talking about a secular study.
Yeah.
That was confirming godly principles.
Yes.
And the power of meaning.
Yes.
Isn't that really seeing yourself the way God sees you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was saying just that, like, everything in the Bible isn't just, oh, this is Bible stuff. It's true. It's actually true. God made the universe. So all of these principles, of course, secular studies are going to confirm them because they're actually true. You know, but, so this is a perfect kind of segue into something I was really thrilled to talk about. So I read a book, called The Power of Meaning. I heard about it in Time Magazine and, she talks about how depression and suicide and all of this, tends to be highest in the wealthiest countries. The richest countries, happen to have the highest suicide rates and they also happen to be the most secular countries. And the countries with the lowest suicide rates are often the poorest countries and the most religious countries. And I think about how in 1 Timothy 6, it says, those who desire to be rich pierce fall into a trap and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It's interesting. It's 1 Timothy 6. It says, those who desire to become rich fall into a trap or are into a snare and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I think it's really interesting. But here's the thing. So we're in this very secular age where, you know, so many young people, the same ones who have the highest anxiety, depression, and suicide, are also leaving the church. You know, in 1990, what were you doing in 1990, Jim?
I was raising kids.
You were raising kids. Were you working here or where were you working?
In 1990, I was in the bank.
You were in the bank. All right, there you go.
I was here at Calvary from 1984 till about 1988.
Well, I was born in 1990, but Macaulay Culkin was living alone. MC Hammer was wearing his parachute pants, right? But back then, only 6% of Americans had no faith, right? Flash forward to 2017. Some estimates were saying it's up to 35% have no faith.
Now, does that mean faith in God, or have they shifted their faith?
They don't practice. They're irreligious. They're not really. They're agnostic. They're just spiritual. They're atheists. That's crazy. From 6% to like 30+%. That is wild. So the same generation, Gen Z, is the most atheistic generation in American history. They're simultaneously the most depressed, the most anxious, the most suicidal. Albert Camus, have you ever heard of the word existential?
Yes.
You've heard that word, right? Well, Albert Camus is the one who came up with existentialism. And what I apologize. Albert Camus and Jean-Paul Sartre. And Albert Camus, said, there's only one philosophical question. Should I kill myself or should I not? That's the only real philosophical question. And he's got a famous quote that says, it's kind of apocryphal, but he says, should I kill myself or have a cup of coffee? Mm. That's an Albert Camus quote, right? He's a very famous atheist, led existentialist. Jean-Paul Sartre was the one who really came up with existentialism. He was one of his friends. He's a French philosopher. And he says, existence precedes essence. And what he means by that is that life just is a meaningless accident. There's no meaning to existence. Therefore, we have to create our own essence, our own meaning. And so he has this quote, life has no meaning. It is up to you to give it a meaning. And value is nothing but the meaning that you choose. And all of us have been influenced by this, all right? All of us have been influenced because people say, my meaning in life is basketball. Or my meaning in life is my career. Or I was talking with a kid at UNM one time, me and my friend Sean Kerwin, and the kid told us, I don't know if there's a God. I don't know if God exists, but that doesn't matter because my meaning in life is that I'm going to be the first New Mexican to win a Tony, an Oscar, and a Grammy. All right. He said, I'm going to be the first New Mexican. That's my meaning in life. You know what? Hats off to that guy for having ambition, but I shudder to think of the catastrophic pain that kid is setting himself up for every time the guy next to him gets the part and he doesn't. Mm. Because to lose a game, to lose a job, to be broken up with is painful for anyone. But if your whole meaning for your existence is wrapped up in that thing, it's not just going to be painful when you don't get the call back or when you get broken up with. Your whole being is going to be in jeopardy. And so it sounds fun, right? Oh, choose your own adventure. Make your own meaning in life. Make your own kind of music. Do you remember that song, The Mamas and the Papas? You've got to make your own kind of music, right?
Cass Elliott.
Yeah, Cass Elliott. Like, that's the whole mentality of existentialism. It's like, don't let anybody tell you there's only one song you can sing. You've got to make your own kind of music. You've got to do your own kind of dance. You know, don't let anybody control you. Be a free spirit. But here's the thing. If your meaning in life is something that can be taken away, it's only a matter of time until you feel like you want to take your own life.
That is heartbreaking.
And so, I'll just give you another example of this is, Sean Kingston. He's a famous rapper from the early 2000s, but Sean Kingston, I was sitting in a taco spot, a taqueria in, Portland, Oregon. And I'm sitting there eating my tacos and I just hear this song. It goes suicidal, suicidal. And I'm like, that's a weird song. That is a creepy song to have on inside of a taqueria. But I look it up and it's a rap song by this rapper, Sean Kingston. And he says, these beautiful girls, all they want to do is do you dirt. They'll have you suicidal when they say that it's over. And that's the exact point, is that if your meaning in life is Jesus and his grace, then your identity and everything you are is built on something you did not earn and something you cannot lose. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter that even though you're going to suffer for a little while, your inheritance is kept for you in heaven and it cannot perish or spoil or fade, right? 1 Peter 1. But the thing is all of our treasures as secular people are treasures that can moth and rust can destroy. Thief can break in and steal. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your treasure is on earth, your heart will always be broken. Because that beautiful girl breaks up with you, and what do? You want to kill yourself. Mm. That's what Sean Kingston was. Hey, if Sean Kingston is saying it, and Jesus is saying it in the Sermon on the Mount, and Peter's saying it, man, it must be true. So what do you need to do? You need to put your treasure not on earth. And when your treasure is in God's grace and in his kingdom, then your heart becomes indestructible because your treasure and your inheritance is indestructible.
Jesse Lusco, he is a pastor of Calvary Church Westside in Albuquerque, is our guest this afternoon. If you would like to call Jesse, if you are experiencing some stress, anxiety, depression, maybe you've been coveting things that Jesse's been talking about, might be good to get it out. Talk to Jesse. Please give us a call at 505-338-5790. We have one more segment. Jesse, stay with us. We hope you'll stay with us too. We'll be right back. Yeah.
Radical Democrats in New Mexico have allowed abortion clinics to operate with no major restrictions. No waiting periods, no parental involvement, no limits on publicly funded abortions. HB 51 was dubbed one of the most extreme abortion bills in the nation, granting up-to-birth abortions in the state. Democrats in the legislature have blocked all restrictions on late-term abortions. The right to life is something that we must cherish and fight for. If not us, then who will speak for the unborn? Joe Biden is looking at our broken system as a perfect model for the rest of the country, and it's time for us to fight back. We must send a message to Joe Biden that infanticide and procedures that kill babies must come to an end in New Mexico. The corruption, out-of-state money, and disregard for precious human life end with this election. A vote for President Trump is a vote to dismantle this brutal system and defend life at all stages in New Mexico.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
Tired of being quarantined? Have the pandemic blues got you down? Having a food choice crisis? Let's talk about a solution. In queso emergency, head straight for Casa Taco, winner of Albuquerque the Magazine Best of the City 3 years running. Come try the signature brisket and green chili tacos, carne asada tacos, and the amazing puffy tacos, plus much more. Convenient online ordering at casa-taco.com. Two locations in Albuquerque and one in Elephant Butte. Casa Taco.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Lots of great stuff happening at Calvary Church Westside. Jesse Lusco is the campus pastor. Tell us some things going on out there.
Yeah, so we were just mentioning, we've got some movie nights going on Friday nights, which is just fun. They're doing Pixar films, so you can come out Friday night at about 6:30 and catch the movie. And there's a like food truck and stuff. And then this Sunday, if you join us for service at 9:45 at the Westside campus, we're in a big VIP lunch, and And if you get onto our website, you can RSVP. And for people who are new to the church, we're doing free tacos. You can just get free delicious tacos at lunch. We're going to have all the COVID-safe practices in place, but we're also going to have a big, huge inflatable slide for the kids and some games. And we're talking about getting off your phone. Maybe get off your phone and come hang out with us at Calvary Westside.
Leave your phone in the car.
Yeah, there you go. Come hang out in person. You know, Jesus said that the most important commandment is that we love one another. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, these things I've spoken to you that your joy may be full. Man, if we quit worshiping things and quit worshiping money and status and experience, and we start worshiping God who is love, and we start loving one another, man, our joy will be full. And so anyways, come hang out with us. Come love one another. Come have some tacos at 9:45, service at 9:45. The lunch will be at about 11:30, and it's going to be super fun over at Calvary Westside at Coors and Montaño.
Jesse, I shared with you off air that I bought a truck. I want to say it was 1985. I'm on my way to Calvary, 7:00 in the morning. I'm in the Far North Shopping Center. It was quite a bit different layout than it was now before Sprouts and everything was there. And I was at a mailbox, and those used to be where Sprouts is now. And all of a sudden, I see this truck coming at me. I'm at this mailbox. I have this truck that's one day old, brand new, loved it, coveted it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this car coming across the parking lot slams right into me while I'm at the I couldn't even get out of the way.
Wow.
Nobody else in the parking lot except us two. Instantly, I went from really concerned about my stuff, my new truck, to, gosh, I hope the guy's okay that hit me. And he actually ends up being a physician from the Northside Hospital that had been on about a 36-hour shift.
Wow.
Was purposely driving through the parking lot so that he wouldn't drive on the street and fall asleep. And I ended up helping him get home, and his car was kind of bent up. We had to leave it there. My truck was still drivable. And I got to tell you, God used that to cure me of stuff.
Wow. Man, yeah. Yeah, it's just so true. It's just like, you know, if you worship a truck, and what I mean by worship is what do you ascribe worth to? I don't mean worship, where do you sing on Sundays? I mean, what do you think is worth living for Monday to Saturday? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, what, if you put your worth into a truck or a career, or a boy, or a girl, or how many followers you have on Instagram, or how many views you get on TikTok, your 401k, or whatever else. If your treasure is on earth, your heart's always going to be broken. You're setting yourself up for heartbreak. I'll just give you a really good example of this that I think is very powerful. There was a study done. by a sports psychologist named Dr. Misia Gervais, and she says, she looked at athletes who had serious injuries, and maybe they'd worked their whole life to be an Olympic athlete, or their whole life to be some kind of, you know, football player or basketball player. Think about all these players. You know, we started off the segment talking about this UNM player who had taken his own life. But think about all these players. They're having their, you know, college careers disrupted by the pandemic and all these things. But she says, we asked these people who had been injured if they felt anxiety or isolation. 99% reported experiencing some kind of psychological disruption. There's a wealth of evidence around the psychological challenges of a long-term injury in sports. If you're an elite athlete where your only identity has been taken away from you, you're sitting there thinking, who am I? It's a big, massive sense of loss. So she's saying that these athletes, they feel devastated because their identity, their worth, their significance, their meaning in life is wrapped up in sports. And sports aren't a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with sports, nothing sinful about sports. But if you make sports your reason for living, if you make it, like Jean-Paul Sartre says, you know, your value and your meaning and all of this, like secularism tells us to, you're going to be devastated. But compare this to Nick Foles. Now, I'm not a big sports guy, so I'm probably going to sound like a doofus.
Former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback won the Super Bowl when Carson Wentz went down.
Exactly. So there you go. But Nick Foles, he broke his clavicle, and he was a great quarterback. And he felt it. He could feel it the second it happened when he was in Jacksonville. And he said, but he's a strong believer, and he said, God, if this is the journey you want me to go on, I'm going to glorify you in every action, whether what's happened to me is good or bad. And he said, I found joy in my injury. People said, that's crazy. That's crazy. But when you believe in Jesus, you go out there and you play and it changes your heart because your purpose in life is Jesus. That's the case when I'm holding the Vince Lombardi trophy or when I'm injured. And then he says, we tend to make it about human athletes, but it shouldn't be about us. If you make it about yourself, you're going to lay your head on the pillow and you're going to feel very sad. But when your purpose in life is in Jesus and it isn't in football, you start impacting people. And he just goes on and he says, that through my injury, I've grown as a human being, and following Christ isn't about prosperity. He says, I believe that if you look at the word of God, trials are along the way and they equip you to be who you are. So look at him. Here he is devastated, right? He should be devastated. He should be in complete, you know, despair that his season is ruined with a broken clavicle, like this sports psychologist researcher says most athletes are. But because his meaning in life is in Christ, he says, you know what? My purpose is the same whether I'm out on the field winning or whether I'm in the locker room. My purpose is to be in Christ's image. My purpose is to glorify God. My purpose is to impact others. And that's why Paul could write in Philippians and say, you know what? Whether I'm in a Philippian jailhouse, I'm going to share the gospel of the Roman guards. Whether I'm out and I've got, you know, everything's going great, my tent making business is killing it, and I'm leading people to Christ out in Corinth, got the same purpose, you know, whatever's going on, he says, whether I have little or I have much, I've learned what it means to be content in all things. Why? Because Jesus was the center of his solar system. And so I just want to invite you and tell you this. If you're not a Christian listening to the radio, what you need to do is you need to realize, you know what, God, I've made my life orbit around the wrong things. It's led to pain for me. It's led to sin against others. I've sinned against you more than anything else. But, you know, like me, I neglected my family because I put my career ahead of it, or I put my phone ahead of my family. When you idolize things, you marginalize people. So when you've worshiped sex, or you've worshiped your 401k, or you've worshiped your phone, or you've worshiped any of these other things, you worship sports, whatever it is, there's people you've trampled over. It's led not only to anxiety, it's led to rivalry. So what you got to do is you got to go, God, I'm a sinner. I haven't loved my neighbor as myself. I haven't loved the Lord your God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But now I want to trust in you, Jesus. And I want to say to the Christians out there that Colossians 3:1-2 says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Let your minds be on things above, not on earthly things. What I mean by that is this: let Christ fill your mind, saturate your mind in his word, and you'll begin to bear fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Jesse, I'm always so touched and inspired by everything you share with us. You're going to join us again on September 15th, and we're going to be talking about healing for people that have been involved in some type of sexual abuse. You only tackle the tough ones, my friend.
Well, I've lived a gnarly life, so that's probably why.
But we appreciate, Jesse, all that you share with us, the heartfelt, I mean, everything. I'm just really blown away today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
I want to invite everybody to stay tuned for Eric's Metaxas. He's coming up next.
ABQ Connect is presented.
presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.